Hello, everyone. I'm Joel.
And I'm Malcolm.
And we are the Big Poppies. The purpose of this podcast is to discuss fatherhood and all the topics around fatherhood that we face as dads. Now, we're going to touch on subjects that might be considered controversial. This podcast is about open dialogue, some debate, but most importantly, honest discussion about how to raise our kids in today's world. We hope you guys walk with us on this journey. Here we go. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the newest episode of The Big Poppies. Today is a very special episode as we have two wonderful young ladies present with us. Today, we have the Big Mommies here. My wife, Tiffany, and Malcolm's wife, Giselle, are here now, and we're going to talk about parenting styles and specifically how each of us were parented growing up and how we as couples parent our kids in today's world. So with that, Tiffany, you want to introduce yourself to the audience?
Yes. Hello. I'm Tiffany, one of the Big Mommies here. I like that title. I didn't at first, but now I think I'm starting to like it. Joel and I have been married for quite some time. We've been together since we were college sweethearts, and we have two beautiful girls. Here today to just share some thoughts and just give some advice to those that are parents out there, those moms out there, young moms, parents, and just give our perspective.
Hello, my name is Giselle. I'm Marlon's wife, and I am a big mommy now.
Don't be afraid to say it. You can say it, you know, with confidence.
With pride.
With pride, yeah.
Marlon and I have been married for 12 years, and we have two daughters. And we're here also to talk about parenting styles. Hopefully, my input helps.
Excellent. So why don't we just jump right in there? I think a good way to start, Malcolm, if you agree, just to talk about how each of us were parented as children. I know, Malcolm, you were born and raised in DR. I was born and raised in New York. Tiffany, you were born and raised in New York City as well. Giselle, you were born in
Cuba,
but raised in
Miami.
So all of us come from different backgrounds, similar backgrounds, but different perspectives. So I think just going around the table and talking a little bit about how each of us were raised, I think would be a good starting point. So Malcolm, why don't you kick us off?
So yeah, Joe, being raised in the Dominican Republic is definitely more different than here in the United States. Over there, things are more, I would say, laid back. Is that a word?
Laid back, it's two words, but they both work together.
You got me. You understand me. That's a good thing. You know, my mom was a stay-at-home mom. My dad used to work from 8 in the morning till 6 p.m. Sometimes he got home late. But, you know, he was there. He wasn't there, but he was there, if it makes sense. Because he wasn't there during the day, but when he was there, he was present. And that's one thing that I've noticed in today's day, that parents are not present. And I think we spoke about it in one of the episodes.
Last one, guys. Yeah.
And you know, being raised that way and seeing how everything is moving towards using a technology as a tool to raise your kids, you know, it's very challenging. And I keep having this conversation with more people that I get in contact with about how technology has played a role in raising kids nowadays. So yeah, man, before there was no internet, there was no cable. Even though I had cable, I spent my whole time outside running around with my boys and from the block. And, you know, every weekend we used to hang out. My dad used to take us everywhere. And it was definitely different. It was definitely different. And today, you know, I feel blessed that I was raised the way I was.
Agreed, man. And even though you were raised in DR and I was raised in New York, it was very similar in the sense that, first of all, we weren't raised by just mom and dad. We were raised by our families. We were raised, in some cases, even by really, really trusted neighbors and friends of the family that we even, there were a couple of them we called tías. You know what I mean? Because they were so ingrained. And even though the environment that we grew up in was kind of dangerous in New York in the 80s and 90s, the community was tight. When you needed sugar, you knocked on Malgo's door in apartment 33 and vice versa. You know what I mean? And that's the way we were raised. So I think that there's a lot of benefit to that. And I think there's a lot of strength in that. Whereas today, like you said, unfortunately, I mean, we're neighbors. We live in the same neighborhood, but we just don't have that kind of environment. I mean, if anything, if you see a stranger or a neighbor scolding one of your daughters, how would you feel about that?
I would grab whatever I can find next to me and throw it in the head.
If Margot in apartment 33 saw us doing something, she'll grab us by our ear, walk us up four flights of stairs, knock on my mom's door, and we knew what time it was after that, where now it's different. But let's hear from the mommies. Tiffany, what was your upbringing like in terms of how your parents parented you?
Well, times are definitely different. So just thinking about how I was parented in a strict household for the most part. My mother was a stay-at-home mom, so I had the benefit of, you know, spending most of my time with mom, and dad would come home from work in the evening, sort of thing. I mean, there are, as a parent nowadays, there are a lot of values that my parents instilled in me and that I would, you know, like to instill in my daughters. Certain, you know, principles and a certain structure, I would say, and consistency, which I think is important when raising kids, because kids want to know what to expect. On the other side of the coin, there are certain things where I'd like to be better than my parents and provide for my children that maybe my parents weren't able to. A different style of parenting, maybe more open, having more communication. For the most part, you know, as a teenager, you learn about things through your friends and at school, and I would like to do things differently, you know, with our kids in terms of talking to them about the dangers of this world and, you know, social behaviors, what's okay, what's not okay. Especially in the age of social media, which we didn't have to deal with back then. But nonetheless, just having communication, I think it's important. That would be one of my main points in giving advice to other mothers. If you open up the lines of communication with your child, be it a boy or a girl, it'll be easier for them to tell you how they feel, tell you what they're going through. But it's up to us to open up that line of communication. We can't expect them as a child to be the one to initiate that. So I think it's important to do that. Whereas, you know, looking at my childhood, I didn't have that. You know, my parents were very old school, traditional. You know, I kind of had to figure some things out on my own. And I wish, you know, I had that open communication.
Like it's old school, do as I say and not as I do.
Sort of, yeah.
Sort of thing, where you just were told what to do and you went with it. Very interesting.
And you know what was the weapon for that saying?
La correa
o la chancleta.
La chancleta, pick one.
Yeah, they were
up in the yard. Didn't they send you to go get some leña or something in the back?
No, man.
You had to go pick your own.
Man, I don't want to say things here, but because my grandmother, she was a tough cookie.
Yeah.
And she passed away not that long ago. So, well, I'm going to say it anyways.
Oh,
so okay. There was this thing called guayo. So she... Yeah, so we had to kneel on top of that with holding two rocks in the hands.
One in each hand.
One in each hand. And a book on the head.
Just balancing.
So the weight.
For how long?
Balancing. Well, we used to trick her. Yeah, you couldn't move.
So you can't adjust your knees to find relief.
To balance the weight.
But yeah. My brother and I, we were, you know, we would find our ways to get out of there without her knowing. That we escaped.
That's crazy. So nowadays you might get sent to jail for that.
Electric chair.
Electric chair. Wow.
So Giselle, how was your upbringing?
My upbringing was, I lived with both my parents and my grandmother. That was a blessing. I had, you know, it was a bit of a balance between my mom and my dad. My mom was very old school and my dad was a bit more open. So I had more of an open communication with my dad. So basically he was very straightforward when it came to topics, and he would basically tell us how things were and, you know, what was the outcome of things. And I, you know, actually appreciate that because I was able to learn from him to be more like open-minded a bit. You know, I still have that structure, but I'm able to, you know, to talk to my girls as if they were not friends, but perhaps like they can come to me with anything, and then we'll try to figure it out. Any type of situation that they might have, because that's the type of relationship that I have with my dad. And then my grandmother was basically always there. She was like the backbone of the family, and she was present always, because she would stay at home and she would have, you know, she would cook for us. She took care of us. She was very loving. And I had that security. She was like a security blanket for my brother and I.
Cool. So that's interesting. So we all grew up in different places, similar backgrounds, but different places. But it sounds like the four of us have similar experiences in terms of how we were raised. There was some tough love there, but not too tough, which I know we've heard about. Well, maybe in Malcolm's case.
you know, that's the Latino way, you know?
Yeah, it is. And it's the old school way, really.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it doesn't matter if you're in DR, New York, or Miami. That old school love is a little different, which I quite honestly miss, if I'm being honest. So I think a good, and this is open to the group. So what are some of the biggest differences that we see on how we were raised versus what we're seeing today on how people raise their kids, and specifically how we in our respective marriages are raising ours? What are some things that we think we've learned from that we're doing better that our parents did? And here's a tougher one. What are some things that we're not doing as good as they did in terms of raising children? And again, it's open to the group. So anybody, please feel free to chime in.
Those are two questions.
It's a two-part question. Yeah, that is, yeah.
Two-part question. One thing that I think that in my case, personal case, for instance, I remember that my dad would talk, and that was it.
It was word.
It was word.
Yeah. Or else you never wanted to find out what.
And let me tell you something. My dad spanked me in my whole life probably three times. Only three times. But, you know, he would talk and I would respect his voice.
Yeah.
He didn't even have to raise his hand or anything. Just his voice. You know, and he always looked mad, but he wasn't mad at all.
Yeah.
He was just his face. He's ugly. that's the reality. He's just ugly. No, he's not ugly because I look like him. So he's not ugly. Anyways, you know, that's one thing that I think my parents, and also in regards of my mom, she would sit with me and she would make me repeat one thing. Let's say that I was doing homework and I was doing a paper before it was handwritten. And I was in the last page, the last sentence, and I had a misspell, or it was bad written. She wouldn't stand. She would get crazy about me using whiteout. I would have to go back and start the page again.
Just rewrite the whole thing.
Rewrite the whole thing. Mm. You know, those are the little things that you might think, geez, that she was tough. But no, she's teaching me discipline. She's teaching me how to write correctly. And quite frankly, I believe that my grammar in Spanish is great.
Because of it.
Because of it.
So how does that differ to today? So what are we doing that
so we're not today?
Because let me tell you something. You were talking about, because I remember that was the same thing with my dad. My dad, I don't think ever spanked me, not once. And he's technically my stepdad, but he raised me. But when he spoke, that rang. It got to a point with my mom where she would spank me, where it became like a game for me.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I would hide and roll myself up and in the corner, and I'd be laughing at her while she's running.
I know.
My dad never had to do that, but when he spoke, that rang way deeper and harder. So as dads, do you feel that it's the same thing now? And if not, why?
It has to do with discipline. Ultimately, it's the different ways that we've been disciplined in our childhood, and then how we discipline our kids now, right? Like back in the day, as we were saying, you would get, you know, un correazo, chancletazo, or my dad personally would like to take my ears and yank my ear, and that would be his way. But, you know, same sort of thing, their word, you know, when they spoke, that was the final word, and that was it. There was no more to it. But nowadays, just disciplining your child, you know, laying a hand, spanking, let's say, on the behind or on the leg or wherever, is frowned upon. You do that now, you know.
It's illegal, my daughter says.
Well, there's a fine line there as a parent. No, there's a fine line.
I think
you can discipline your child by spanking.
Well, there's only one way to find out.
Abusive, right?
Right.
But back then, no one, you know, nadie se metió on how you decided to discipline your child behind closed doors. Nowadays, it's like, you know, you look at people and it's a big deal. And then on the flip side, the kids that aren't being disciplined are having tantrums in the supermarkets and the stores. And that's also frowned upon. So how do you know as a parent, you know, how to lay down the law, how to gain that respect that you guys have been talking about? You know, I think that's the tough part.
It is challenging.
Yeah, it is tough, and it's subjective, and I don't think that there's any right answer.
I know one.
Oh, you do? Go ahead.
Yeah, I remember my aunt from New York that, you know, she would say to her kids, I'm going to take you to the DR.
I'm going to export you.
I'm going to take you. We're going to go on vacation and be ready.
And I'm coming back by myself.
What we do now is we'll say, oh, we're going to take away your electronics. Oh, we're going to take your phone. We're going to take your iPad.
Yeah, but
that doesn't solve for anything.
And they don't care.
Well, no. That's part of it, right? So I think we had a lot tougher growing up than our kids have it. That's the way you want it, right? I want my kids to have kids and their lives be better than theirs were, generationally, yeah. Right? It just gets better and better and better. But I think that there is a connection between things coming easier, things being easier, your life being easier because you have access to so much more, and this I don't want to call it weakness, but this softness that these kids sort of become a part of, and we're responsible for it at the end of the day. We make things easier on our kids because we don't want our precious little girls to suffer anything.
I know.
We don't want them. If they fall down, the whole family has to come pick them up and act like their leg just got amputated. And we have to put everything on and everything has to be great and perfect. Right.
If they cry, everybody's like, stand up.
Wait. Oh my gosh, what's going on? So the tough question for us as parents, our generation, I'll call it the old millennials generation.
I'm not millennial, I said before, and I'll keep it. I'm not millennial. Well,
I guess, by the book.
No, man.
I'm right on that. I'm the oldest millennial possible.
We are Dominicans.
but the point is, the tough question for us is, are we guilty of softening up our kids, which then translates in lack of discipline on their part, where when dad speaks, they're like, oh, yeah, whatever, and they just roll their eyes, which if I did growing up, my eyeballs would have ended up on the other side of the room. By mom usually, which is crazy. So if I didn't listen to dad, mom would come in and lay down the law.
Well, Giselle, what do you do to discipline the girls, generally speaking, if they misbehave or...
We basically have a conversation about it. You know, sometimes they don't listen. Sometimes they continue to make the same mistakes over and over. But we tend to do that too, you know, as adults. So that's basically... how I see it. I'm like, okay, I need to have more patience with them in the sense of like, I, you know, also, you know, make mistakes with, you know, certain things. When it comes to, I guess, the difference in between them and us, I think it's just the fact that, you know, they're being raised again with electronics. It's just different. They have more information in their hands, and they almost feel like they're adults. It's like sometimes you have to remind them, I'm the adult, I'm the parent here.
Right.
Because sometimes they feel like they know more than us. And I think that's where the problem comes about.
You think so, though? Because I think every generation probably felt that. Like when I was 13, 14, 15, there was nothing you could tell me about life because I had it all figured out. You know what I mean?
I think that's a teenager thing.
It's like a kid thing. Right, but I think to your point, they're like more empowered because now they have access to information.
I had to go to the encyclopedia to find information.
Right. Now they just Google it and now they know everything.
I think the keyword, there are two keywords, one that she mentioned and one that you kind of mentioned. One is not empowered, entitled.
Entitlement.
Bingo, you hit it.
You know, the kids nowadays, they feel entitled because they think they know it all. Even smaller kids, they think they know it all. Why? Because what you mentioned, they have so much information in their hands, right? That they think that knowing that information that they have is enough to comprehend life. And life is a roller coaster, you know? And you're going to hit walls over and over and over again, and you're going to fall, and you're going to stand up, fall and get up, and so on and so forth. And, you know, the other thing is patience. I think that patience nowadays overall things that I've seen throughout my life with other couples, other parents, you know, patience is a thing that is almost like gone.
Yeah, it goes against our culture, man.
Why? Because, for instance, before I was raised mostly by my mom. My dad was present, but my mom was taking care of us the whole day, right? She was a stay-at-home mom. Nowadays, both parents have to work. At least in the DR, you know, it's easier for stay-at-home moms because usually someone who makes enough money to survive can, you know, the mom can stay home. Now, are both parents working, right? And the stress from the work, from the job, comes home as well, most of the time.
That's a big one. And now, that didn't come up earlier, now that you mentioned it. Which is both parents working. Not only working, but working professional jobs.
Right.
Because I think growing up, my mom worked, but it was like odd jobs, like just, I guess, to help make ends meet. But it wasn't career jobs, like, for example, both of you, right? So we're the first, not the first generation, but I think in our experience is the first generation where both mom and dad have to be working professionals. I saw you earlier with your laptop.
Yes.
Giselle. And it working was work. Because I could hear you talk about something that somebody doesn't know what they're doing. So it sounds familiar. And that's something that I think we're the first generation, no? Right? Because our parents, dads were doing most of the working, but moms were either home or working in between jobs, like part-time type jobs.
Right.
So they could be stay-at-home moms. So
yes,
that's a great point that I don't think we talked about earlier.
So it's like you mean the parents had more time with their kids, especially the mom.
Yeah.
More, okay.
And kind of just to add to that, even though moms back then were more stay-at-home and, you know, the kids had less access to electronics, I think that when we've talked about it already here in this session, kids in that type of household grew up stronger, more independent in a sense, because they had to figure things out. Whereas now, I think because both parents are working parents, you know, we come home, we understand that our time is limited with our kids. And so, you know, for the most part, we try to make the best out of that time. But we're also, we also kind of baby them to a degree. And maybe make things easier for them because, I don't know, perhaps the guilt, knowing that they have to stay a little bit extra longer in aftercare or someone else has to watch them, you know, until dad or mom gets home or I don't know, but maybe that might play to our subconscious. And so we might make things a little easier for them. And I think in turn, it makes them, I don't know if this is the right word, but a little, you know, weaker or more dependent. Instead of going and figuring out how something works, you know, they could just Google it. Instead of, you know, figuring out and going to the library and you know, knowing how to use a catalog, and they could just Google it.
Or go to Wikipedia.
And we do the same. Yeah. You know, we do the same. So they, you know, it's learned from us too.
Those are great points. And I think to you posed the question, I think it's easy to baby your kid. And I'm not a mom, obviously, but especially as a mom, I could see where that just comes natural. I use the kid falls down example. They fall down. They start crying. What does everybody do? They run to the kid. They pick them up to see what's going on. That is the natural thing to do. The hard work is to stop, stop and look and let the kid pick themselves up and give yourself a second to see how bad are they really hurt. The kid breaks his leg, you'll know within seconds. Right? The kid fell and is just a little startled because they got a little scrape on their leg. Maybe the right thing to do is just to let them stand up and dust it off. Right?
Okay. So we have to train ourselves.
Yeah. It's hard work because essence, you are literally letting your kid fall and teaching them how to get up. But if we constantly just run and pick them up every single time, and I mean that also metaphorically, we're picking them up and we're constantly just making them dependent on us because it makes us feel all nice and warm. I'm such a good mom or dad because I'm always there for them. In essence, all you're doing is raising a weak adult and they're going to pay for it in the future.
I was going to say that, you know, that we think that we're doing like a great job, but at the end of the day, we're not because
we're just making ourselves feel better.
Right.
But in making yourself feel better, you're doing it at the expense of the future adult that you're raising. And that's the hard question that we have to pose to ourselves as parents, because at the end of the day, we're raising a future adult. And if we're not doing the difficult work of doing that, even the things that we don't like, then who at the end of the day is responsible for these kids that are supposed to be our leaders of tomorrow?
I have an example. I have a coworker that he's from New York, and he has two daughters. And he was telling me, I'm going to get my kids the latest iPad because they deserve it. And I'm like, why? And he said, because I didn't have none of that when I was growing up. So I want them to have whatever I didn't have.
He sounds like he's from Queens.
Right. And I was like,
something somebody from Queens would say.
I was like, man, you think you are doing like a good job by giving them the latest and the greatest? Yeah, because, you know, I know my daughters and they like it. And I want them to have the best because, you know, it's New York. And I'm like, no, man. What's going to happen when you cannot afford whatever you know, they want? What are they going to do? They're gonna look for a different source.
Yeah.
When he's setting the expectations so high.
Exactly.
You know, if he doesn't get them that iPad or the newest iPhone year after year, then, you know, entitled. They're gonna feel entitled time after time.
They don't have to work for.
So if they don't get what they want, daddy didn't get me the latest iPhone, so I need to get it somehow because I want it. You know? What's gonna be next? What's going to be the next step
of that? In fact, today on a smaller scale, so anytime I go to the store, supermarket, Target, wherever, I'll let my girls get a little thing, a little candy from the checkout aisle. And so if I don't, it's a problem. Oh, but I behaved good. I want a treat. And I fall for it. Mm-hmm. And yes, and I give it some why because I want to see that smile. I want to make them happy. If I can bring joy as a mother, I want to. But I do have to recognize that there comes a point of tough love. You're not going to get something every time we go to the store. Maybe sometimes. And that way, you know, especially the youngest one, she learns that you're not just going to get things every time because you want it. That's not right. The reality of life.
Right.
Can I say something real quick? Now that you mentioned that it's you want to see.
It's your podcast, bro. You literally can say something.
No, but check this out. And it's going to make sense when I say it. You know, she mentioned something about seeing their happiness, their joy, and you feeling great about the great joy of seeing their smile, right? But I believe that the greatest joy is when they're grown up, right? And they behave the way we're supposed to behave. When yep. they get to the to when they accomplish their goals in life, their objectives, you know, when they finish school, when they graduated from university, when they are professionals, when they are responsible.
I got a word for you now, though. When they persevere, because we know they're going to yes. go through challenges.
Yes.
And we're not going to be there all the time to help them with their challenges.
Yes.
And if they go off to college and they're not prepared how to deal with the day-to-day things that are going to come up, and then once they graduate and they start a family themselves, they're not going to know how to persevere and get through these challenges. Right.
And when they're God-loving, God-fearing women, you know, we know
that's
that
very important.
They have that foundation.
And men as well.
Right.
And
of course.
Because it's I mean, we want to find those now boys that are going to be men.
One thing that I try to teach my
time from now.
One thing that I try to teach my older daughter is the fact that everything that I own, I earned. Nothing was like given to me. Because in reality, when you go to the real world, you have to earn your stuff.
Yeah.
Nothing is really given to you. Even if you are home doing chores, that's making your way up to get whatever you need or whatever you want.
Yep.
You're working for it. You know, that's one thing that my dad taught me and my mom too, you know. You earn what you get. You don't do anything for free.
Right.
You know, you don't get stuff for free. You have to earn it. You know, and that's why I finished my college. That's why I finished my idea second career. And that's what I'm trying to teach my kids. But here's the thing, though. The fact that even though I tell my kids, listen, I struggled through college and then I went to another college. I was studying a lot. Having all this information in their hands, they still think that they know better than us. And it sucks because... Yeah. You know, that, but, you know, I found this in Google, or look, you know, what was it that my daughter was telling me It's not said that way. It's said this way. I was trying to say something with my English not very good looking, and she corrected me, and I said, you know what? You understood me, so don't worry about it. But that's the thing with nowadays, that they think that they know it all. And we spoke about it earlier in the podcast. You know, they think they know it all. They think that they can get stuff just because they're our kids.
I think it's just the way they're, you know, everything around them. It's the instant gratification. The fact that whenever we don't watch television here at home that much, but what I do see whenever there's a movie that we watch that it's age appropriate for them, for some reason, like the parents either are not in the picture, either they don't know, they're dumb, or they're not, you know, very bright. The kids are always the ones that are, you know, more intelligent or know better. They're the ones teaching the parents, giving them, you know, the example, or giving them basically the storyline is it's the kids know, they know better than the parents.
That's why in the 80s we used to shrink the kids.
Right. Right. That's true. That is true.
He did that on purpose. That wasn't no accident. Dad said I had enough of these kids. No, I'm just kidding.
So I think that comes from that. Like their upbringing, what's around them, like school. I feel also like the parents have less, we have like more limitations now when it comes like, you know, we
they're exposed to a lot.
Yeah.
A lot. TV, computer, mm-hmm. school, friends, and kind of taking it back a little bit to what Malden was saying in terms of earning, you know, working for something that you've actually earned because it's not given to you. It's not only tangible things, but intangible things like trust. So, you know, earning trust, earning respect, I think we have to teach them that as well. So, and I believe as a parent, the biggest example we can give is by being a role model. Mm-hmm. So if we say we're going to do something, if we're making certain, you know, promises or setting certain expectations, we have to try to follow through. Obviously, life happens and things might change and we may have to adjust. But, you know, building that trust relationship, I think it's important, and teaching them that too.
And trying to avoid them trusting other people and parents.
Like movies and things that they see that they're exposed to. Not all of it is speaking truth. So,
right. And Joel and I, we're going to talk about it in a coming soon episode about role models. Because nowadays the role models are all confused. And it has to do pretty much everything with technology. I keep saying, and I will say until the day I die, that ever since smartphones came around, people are less happy.
Yeah, the anxiety and depression levels have gone up, and yeah, I think the stats show that.
The data supports that.
Yeah.
That's actually right. And one of the things that I don't want to derail the conversation too much, but we have to keep in mind that parents are a threat to a lot of dollars out there. Yes. There's a lot of business in kids. Kids are already consumers, even though they don't make purchasing decisions themselves because they don't, for the most part, earn money and buy their own stuff. They are the number one influencers to parents. 100%.
Well, now you have these kids that do make more money than their parents when it comes to YouTubers and all that.
Well, yeah, they have
the girls own, sure, talking about it, and you know they know all these things. So it's mainly like, we don't need you anymore. Like we can do things to provide for ourselves, because they've asked questions whether, you know, can I get a YouTube channel because I can generate money? Mm-hmm. No, you are underage. You will not have a channel. Like, there are certain things, again, boundaries too.
Yeah, but then the parents come along and say, you know what? It's a great idea. You look cute. Oh, my God.
Sure, and they make it a business thing.
They make it a business.
When it comes to business, I think as parents, we have to be conscious of the fact that big business out there, and I'm a capitalist, guys. If you've listened to previous podcasts, you know most of my positions already. But when it comes to business and kids are a huge source of business for a lot of different types of businesses. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You mentioned TV earlier. These movies that come out, I mean, if you just sit down and just look at any kid's movie with a little bit of skepticism, you find a lot of subliminal messaging out there. And I don't want to be this mm-hmm. crazy, cool conspiracy theorist, but you're looking at these things mm-hmm. because they're trying to get to your kids and push you aside.
Yeah, guard against that.
So in that respect, if you're a business who's trying to influence a child or a future consumer of yours, the parent can become an obstacle for the business to get to the kid. So you have to have an eye for these things. And it all goes back to things that our parents, well, maybe mine, because we lived here. In your case, maybe not. When you were growing up in your campo in DR. But this is something that's kind of new. It's still new to society in terms of how parents have to be attentive
to different things. Market to the parents. They try to hide, right? And try to make it seem like it's all good and swell for you to purchase this for your child, when ultimately it just might be, you know, not very beneficial.
Yeah.
So we have to be wary of that and guard against it and keep our eyes open for it, you know?
All right, guys. So we're almost short on time. So we're going to wrap it up. If you ladies want to give an advice to young mothers and young couples in general about parenting, what would you say? You know, what can they do to avoid all these things that we're talking about in regards to parenting, all the challenges that we're facing with everything going on in the world nowadays?
My initial comment was about creating an open line of communication. So know what your child is doing, what your children are up to, whether it's online, you know, making them feel comfortable that if they come to you with a question or a concern, you're not going to blow up. You're not going to overreact. You're going to keep an even keel sort of attitude. So next time something happens, they feel comfortable coming to you. I think that's very important, especially as our, you know, we have those preteens and teenagers, and we want to know what they're up to, because the reality is that the older they get, the less control we have over them. Mm-hmm. And the more decisions they're making on their own, the more they are exposed to things of this world. So ultimately, my advice to you mothers and fathers out there would be to, you know, do the best that you can, even if it means, you know, stepping out of your comfort zone, but open and initiate that line of communication with your child, so it becomes easy for them to talk to you about things and just listen.
Communication and trust is a big one, I guess, for our kids to feel that they can come to us and you know, and trust that we're going to guide them in the right path. And then for me, I'm still learning as I go. So I do go back to a lot of books, resources that can help me, you know, guide me through motherhood, because it's every age has its, you know, seasons, and they have different needs. So it requires for me also to learn as I go on the different needs with the age. So I'm just learning.
Cool. I would say ask yourself the difficult question as parents is something that I try to do, that we try to do as parents. And ask yourself, what type of parent do you want to be? Who are you in it for? Are you in it for yourself, or are you in it for the kid? Because if the answer is you're in it for the kid, then that may mean that you have to make decisions that aren't your favorite decisions, or the one that gives you the instant gratification of seeing that smile on their face, because you want to see that smile on your face, right? And it's tough. It's tough to ask yourself the question, because I've tried to take inventory of the kind of parent that I am. And there's a laundry list of things that I look at and I'm like, man, I do that better. I do that better. One of them is having that discipline to not parent for myself. And we all know what that means. We all know that we do things like that and give them the candy at the supermarket aisle because it makes us feel good. We want to see that smile. We want that little warmth feeling in our heart. And yes, that's appropriate at times, but it may not be appropriate all the time. So my advice would be, and it's something that I try to do, ask yourself the tough question and ask yourself, is this making them a better person in the future? And is this gonna make them the most productive adult that I can raise today? And if the answer is no, then be disciplined enough to do what you gotta do. But that'd be my advice.
I would say to parents, you can take a trip to the DR and spank them really, really hard and then come back and nothing happened.
And Punta Cana specifically.
No, but there are a few things based on our conversations. Number one, parents, they need to team up. We need to work as a team, because if I think one way and the mom think other way, then there's a disconnect. Then when it comes to discipline, our kids can be a mess.
Great point. Solid.
Number two, I would say the kids, our kids, or kids in general nowadays, they don't know what a consequence means. There are no consequences. Why? I don't know why. But there's non-existent. And, you know, the whole instant gratification is part of not having consequences. It should be the other way around. Parents need to teach kids that every action has a consequence, good or bad. You do something wrong, you have a bad consequence. If you did something right, you get a good consequence. You get your gratification because you did something good. And be patient, because, you know, it's hard when both parents are working and get home all stressed out from the job, and then dealing with the kids that want to be shouting and screaming and running around is tough. But, you know, you have to work on patience, because the older we get, the worse it becomes. So those are my advices for new parents and for parents that are struggling right now. And yeah, that's about it.
Excellent. So this is probably our longest podcast to date, but definitely well worth it. We want to thank you guys, our wives, Tiffany, Giselle, for joining us. This was one that we've been talking about for a while. And we
want to say sorry because we pushed back our episode, because by popular demand, we had to talk about social media a little bit more.
And it won't be the last time we talk about social media on this podcast.
I know. So I agree with you.
But
we're invited again next time.
I think so. Well, here's what we'll do. We'll put it out to the listeners and see what they think. They'll probably be like, yeah, let's get rid of these guys. Start your own podcast. Who wants to listen to those two knuckleheads? But but thank you guys, because this is a topic we could, if we wanted to, we could go 3 hours on this topic and just keep going with things. I mean, as you guys were talking, there were just thoughts going in my head, because it's so important, and it's literally about our futures, right? When we're talking about kids and parenting. So thank you, ladies, once again. We really appreciate it. And until next time, I'm Joel.
And I'm Malcolm.
And we are the Big Poppies. Thank you, guys.
Next time.